You know, I just want you to take a moment, and I'm not going to take long. Don't worry. I'm not going to speak for too long at all. If you've never been with us, first of all, my name's Tim. Really glad you're here. But I do want to take a moment and just say, you know, this Christmas season, it's all predicated by many times we use the word gifts. We talk about gifts, and it's a gift that we get to be together tonight. It's a gift that we are in a room like this together, and I'm just going to take a few short minutes, and we're going to get really practical for the kids. We're going to talk about the archaeological kind of findings around Bethlehem or something like that tonight, if you guys want to dive into something deep. That was a joke as well. No, we're just going to talk for a few minutes about the story of Christmas. You know, I don't know about you, but by the way, there are people here that are like from out of state. I'm just always curious about that. Anybody here from out of state? Just raise your hand if you're from out of state. Just a few people. Like, who came the farthest? Okay, where are you from? New York. Where are you from? I know where you're from. North Carolina. Which one's farther? New York is farther, right? Man, thanks for coming all the way just to come to Oklahoma City Community Church tonight from New York. I mean, it's so cool. Totally worth it. Well, I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about tradition a little bit. I know you guys have a lot of traditions. Most of you probably have traditions in your family. Maybe church on Christmas Eve is a tradition. Some of you probably have traditions like if it's a Christmas Eve meal, or maybe you read "Twas the Night Before Christmas." You'll read that tonight. Anybody going to do that tonight before you go to bed? Yes, a few of us. When you were growing up, or maybe you do now, you open one gift on Christmas Eve. Anybody? Yes, I mean, the parents always say, open this one, it's the worst one. You can have that one on Christmas Eve. There's a lot of traditions that are out there, right? We have the Christmas movie tradition, the Christmas songs traditions. We got Christmas movies. You guys have been probably watching Christmas movies for weeks now, either it be Christmas Vacation. You know, how many of that's like a tradition for you? You watch that every year? Come on, I know you guys are lying now. You serious, Clark? I just say that whenever I can. And then, or Home Alone, or whatever your movie is, right? And I was thinking about how odd it is that we just are cool with this. We're great with traditions and just doing the same thing 1 month out of the year, every year of our life. It's like, we're okay with these songs still, and we're still listening to them, but I think that's probably what we do love about it. It is something familiar. There's something that speaks to us. And I was driving by a church the other day, and I saw they have 11 p.m. Christmas caroling tonight. And I'm in my PJs by 11 p.m., so which is another tradition, isn't it? How many of you guys do the Christmas jammies tradition? Anybody is willing to admit this? Okay, so I've never done it, but this year we did it. Our family did this. Christy went and got PJs for us all, and I thought we were all in already. A few years ago, I got a minivan. I'm all in on this thing of being a dad. And this year, though, it's next level. We got a puppy. Introduced you to him last week if you're with us. And now we're doing the Christmas jammies thing, which I don't know what's going on with us, but traditions is something we all do, and we enjoy them. And one of our traditions that we've done as a family every year for the last number of years is we've celebrated Advent together. And we did that as a church this year, and I know it's meaningful to a lot of people. And really, we take one night a week over the course of 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. We do all sorts of different things. We look at the story of Christmas. We try and really engage what Christmas is all about. And we do things like deliver food and candy to our neighbors, you know, and do things like that and play family games and try and create moments and memories for our kids. But on this night, on Christmas Eve, we do something every year. I open up the Bible and I read the story of Christmas. And it's a tradition that we've done for a number of years, and we kind of have some things around it, but it's an important one for our family. And tonight it's a little different because we're here, and I thought, man, I want to maybe as an extended kind of a church family, take time to read the story of Christmas. And our kids just did a great job of portraying that and sharing it. But I thought, what if I just open the Word tonight, read the story of Christmas, allow that story, because sometimes I believe we can lose the wonder and the beauty and the awe of these types of stories. But every time we encounter it, it can touch us in new and fresh and amazing ways, the fact that God sent his son down for us. So I kind of took the liberty to kind of combine some of the gospels, because, you know, the story of Jesus is kind of throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and particularly in Matthew and Luke, and I kind of pieced the story together. Because a lot of times we just hear it in fragments, don't we? We come to church and we just hear just a little piece of the story, and I thought I'd just read it to us tonight. And like I said, since I'm inviting you in to a tradition of ours, we have Christmas jammies for everyone too. You can get those on your way out. We'll just see how far you look. Okay. All right, so let's read the story. And I'm going to read it, and it's going to be, I'll warn you, it's going to be a little lengthy. Don't worry about it. Just follow along. It's going to be on the screen. But this is the story of the birth of Jesus according to the Gospels. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they got married, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but she didn't know that. But he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in a dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who is now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, it came time for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in their fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Can you imagine? And they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Everyone. I have to always pause on that because it's not just for them or for her or for her or for those people over there or for the people that we think should get him. He's for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly, imagine this scene. Imagine it. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about them and this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the Bethlehem village, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of wise men arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to this newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him." Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary's mother. And overcome, they kneeled and worshiped him. And they opened their luggage and they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The birth of Jesus, it's a history-splitting, movement-making, human-saving moment. It changed everything. Here you have the God of creation entering into creation. Here you have the God who made man coming down as a man. Here you have the man who created it all coming to his creation and saying, I'm giving my life for you. His life changed everything about the world. If you really think about all that has been shaped and changed in this world because of the person of Jesus and the birth of this baby, it is overwhelming. More songs have been sung about him. More books have been written regarding him. More art has been painted about him. He is the most transformational person that has ever existed on the planet. And he is not just the person. He is the eternal God come down in the flesh, moved into the neighborhood and said, I am coming to be God with you. The most history splitting, movement making, human saving moment of all time is the birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem as a baby and laid in a manger. That is what the Christmas story is. His birth marked the beginning of a new way of life. It marked the beginning of a new way to see one another. It marked a new way to see God. Humanity changed. He came to give us hope. He came to give us peace. We've heard these things many times. He came to give a kind of peace that the believers during that time and the people of that time called the most perfect kind of peace that you could imagine, shalom. Shalom meaning all sorts of prosperity and peace and goodness all wrapped into one than what we can offer one another. It was perfect harmony with one another and with the Lord. And this is what Jesus came to bring. The kind of peace that not is greater than just peace. It's grace and peace. So tonight, we just want to kind of bring some sort of opportunity to respond. And you know, traditionally, a lot of us, when we come together on Christmas Eve, we celebrate through communion and honor and remember the Lord through communion. We're going to do that tonight. And you know, communion was originally celebrated, in, if you will, as a practice going way before Jesus. But he kind of changed communion in this moment of this meal of coming around and breaking bread and having this cup together. And he's with his disciples on one of his final nights before he was arrested, of course, and he is with them. And he says, hey, this is our last supper together, and we're going to do something. I'm going to break this bread, and this bread that I'm breaking, it's going to represent my body that's about to be broken for you. They were a little confused at the time. They didn't totally get it. They would come to get it in the coming days, and communion would come to mean something very significant to them. But he says, this cup, this wine that you're about to drink, it represents my blood that will be spilt on you. It will give you grace. It will cover all your sins. And so they had this moment together in which they shared this meal. And something very particular about that I think is very important for us, it was shared in the community of believers. And he said, in the future, I want you to do this again and again and again and again to remember me. But not just to remember me, but to experience communion together and with me. And so when we take communion, it's not just an act of remembering, it's an act of continuing to commune in the relationship with the Father and with one another as His beloved children. So communion is a beautiful picture of what God has done for us and that God is with us. And so we're going to do communion in a way that we don't typically do it, but we have these little things in the seats in front of you. Maybe you got one. Hopefully you did. If you didn't, hopefully there's one near you. I don't even know if there's going to be someone that has some coming down the aisle. I'm not quite sure. But we usually do this a little different, but here's what I was thinking, you know? I mean, we're going to do this in a moment. You don't have to open it up yet. Just hold on to it. I've taken communion with high C and saltine crackers. It's not about the elements. It's not about the elements at all. It's about the heart. It's not about what's in front of us. These things aren't anything. They just represent something that's in us. It's the fact that there's a broken piece of bread and a little bit of juice to represent the body and the blood of Jesus. And today when we celebrate, I want to encourage you. When Jesus left us for this, he left it for the believers. And he says, come and do this in remembrance of me. And so tonight, if you want to participate, you don't have to. There's no pressure. In a moment, we're gonna sing. The band's going to come. We're going to sing a couple carols together. And during those songs, we can take communion when we're ready. And I would encourage you to maybe say a prayer and examine your own heart and get into a right posture and have a thankful moment with your Father, your Heavenly Father. And then take communion when you're ready. And remember of course, what each of these elements represent and the significance of them and what Jesus did for us. All beginning with his birth and this story we read tonight. So I'm gonna say a prayer in just a moment. And as I finish, we'll start singing and you can take communion when you're ready. But let's just pray. Father, I pray that even as we take this moment to focus in on who you are and what you've done, I pray that this moment of communion is a reminder that, Lord, that you are Lord, you are Savior to us. And so, Father, even as we partake in communion today, that it would be a declaration that you are our Lord and Savior. That those of us who have given our heart and given our lives to you, Lord, that we would remember all the things you've done tonight and we would celebrate you in such a way to say, this Christmas, Father, we are grateful. We are grateful because everything is a gift. We thank you, Jesus. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.